Alright, hi everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of Static and Distortion. Here on the internet, my name is Chris.
I am John.
And my name is...
And tonight we're going to be talking about noted artist Ryan Adams, Chicagoland favorite, has a special place in a lot of our hearts, but might be new to a few of our listeners out there.
Chris, I did see that you were able to post our
I did. Playlists on I did. Very Thank nice. You. Yeah, you know, it's I said on the blog it kind of covers both fields of the spectrum of Ryan Adams as an artist. I think if you were to listen to my playlist first, I think you would get a more of his rock pop influence. That shows through John taking the more eclectic route, as usual.
Quite eclectic, I agree with that. But much more sad sax songs.
That's true. Yeah, and that's you know, as a music lover, you know. That's who you are.
Eclectic and sad.
I will say, as the one person out of the three of us that was completely unfamiliar with Ryan Adams' body of work, I was actually quite taken back by how much I thoroughly enjoyed both playlists. I will say this, though, I do give the edge to John. I don't know if it's because I listened to it first and then I was prepared for your list, Glass, or if it's just the difference in songs and tones of the music itself was more to my taste with John's. But I thoroughly enjoyed Ryan Adams. I will say I don't care more for his poppy sound. I cared more for, as John said, the sax sound.
Well, yeah, it's not to say that I don't care for that either. You know, I think some of my favorite of Ryan Adams are his more, you know, profoundly sad and lonely songs. And a fellow that introduced me to Ryan Adams oh so many years ago, I think he would agree with both of you, too. And I think he'd be rather disappointed with the road that I took in my journey to self-discover him.
I actually quite enjoyed your
playlist. Oh, thank you.
Chris. I thought it was well-rounded and enjoyable. There are actually some songs in there.
Really?
In his vast...
If I could guess, were they ones off of Jacksonville City Nights? That was actually my introduction to Ryan Adams. That had just come out when he was, you know, doing stuff with the Cardinals, not too long after Cold Roses. And
well, he put out like three albums in
he did, and right,
and two of them were double.
That's right, that's exactly right. And you know, then 29 was right after that, and he became kind of notorious in that span of time for just like he wrote a song, so he's going to record it and put it on an album, get it right out to you right away, you know, and for better or worse, you know, that kind of became in a lot of critic circles something against him too, you know, because the argument was you could spend a year or two making one really good album, or you could put up three semi-good albums in 1 year. And
part of that, you know, part of that was his attempt to release himself from his American recording, or was it American recording? I don't remember what album, whatever label he was on. He had some like 82 contract, you know, album contract, and he wanted to get out of that, which moved him into the less rapid, you know, release schedule of his Pax Am days. So.
Right, but that's, you know, what's interesting is he's kind of going back to that now with his, I'm going to release a single, you know, every week or something like that.
Yeah, which is interesting. I didn't know he was doing that until a couple of
years. Yeah, that's, well, a long time ago, Robert brought up the 1984 thing, and we were both like, oh, I don't think that's really anything, you know. But, but it is.
It's all just like demos. Isn't it all just demos and short, like, minute and a half?
Yeah, it's all like minute and a half, you know, demo tracks and things like that. But that's part of his new thing now, where he's just like, I constantly want to put stuff out there. Which some of our favorite artists do and experiment with. And to a lot of success, actually. So I'm kind of excited about it. In fact, he just this past week released his another three-track single. You know, within a month of releasing his album.
Within weeks. It,
yeah, and you know, I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to it yet. It's interesting. Like there's one track on there that's really pretty decent that you could tell, like, he put a lot of effort into this. This one's really good, and then the next track's kind of okay, and the third track is just a joke. Like, he just, you know, took a bunch of, drank a bunch of absinthe, and is like, I'm gonna just hit record for 3 minutes. And it's really silly, and it's, you know, nobody should ever listen to it. But it's, you know, it's Ryan Adams. It's kind of like a fuck whatever, you know, this is, I'm putting this out there, it's something.
With Ryan Adams, and like I said, I'm new to his work, but with everything I've read and found out, if I were to see my favorite artist say, you know, hey, we're going to put out an album in 2014, and then they turn around and they're like, hey, we also have all this other songs we're going to put out, so it's going to be another album. And then, oh, well, we have this third album we're kind of thinking about putting out. It doesn't seem like it's so planned as much as like a triple release. You know, we have an album, then we have an album, we have an album, this is all planned. But with Ryan Adams, him just releasing album after album, it almost makes sense for him. For everything that I've seen and heard, it almost seems like he's just the kind of guy that wants to go into the studio, constantly keeps writing, has all this, even if it's bad, if it's good, if it's whatever, he just has this creativity just kind of flowing out of him, and he needs to put it down, because if he doesn't, it almost feels like it's going to just become stagnant and feel old. And that's why, you know, granted, he has three albums in 1 year, but it doesn't seem like overkill for him.
Correct. I once, back on social media website MySpace, around 2006, I wrote a lengthy blog post about why it's okay to own every Ryan Adams record, which at the time, I think, was maybe half of what he has out now. But, you know, that was when he was deep in the thick of releasing three albums in a year and, you know, putting out albums, you know, he put out, I think, Love is Hell, Part 1 and Part 2, then became an album in 2004. He put out Cold Roses, Jacksonville City Nights in 29 in 2005. And, you know, he had, like, four albums within, like, a year span there that were out. And I was defending him against his critics, saying, it's not all good, but it's all worth having if you're a Ryan Adams fan.
I mean, if you are, even if you're not a true Ryan Adams fan, if you at least thoroughly enjoy music, it's all worth checking out. You're going to find something on these albums, you know, and granted, not all is great, but you're going to find something.
Yeah.
I started kind of digging through, and you guys both brought up Cardinology as, you know, like, not one of the best albums he may have released. I think one of you actually thoroughly enjoyed it, and I went through it, and I was like, the second half of that album isn't phenomenal, but the first half is actually pretty damn decent. Like, I enjoyed it. So, granted, it's not all hits, but it feels like it's something that he needs to get out. Even if he doesn't have anything he's saying, it almost seems like he's just making music for the fact that he loves to make music.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm just
And I think that's where a lot of my love for him as an artist came from, was just out of that respect. Where, like, what other artists that I really identify with just, like, are fucking doing it, or just putting it out there because that's what they want to do, because that's what they need to do. And, you know, it'd be one thing if he was just putting out shit album after shit album, you know, but he's putting out albums, and there's gems on every single one of them, even, you know, his most critically panned albums. So there are still listenable and great tracks on them.
I agree.
You know, so I mean, he has,
I was just going to say, because you mentioned other artists that constantly just keep putting out music, and off the top of my head, I can't think of one, but one sort of subgenre comes to mind, and that's, like, hip-hop. A lot of hip-hop artists come out with mixtape after album, they're constantly releasing new tracks, and granted, it's easier for them just to find a beat and then just start rhyming over it, but it's almost like they just... For them, it's a different sensibility. It's we have to remain in the public eye, we have to remain on everyone's mind and on everyone's tongue. Ryan Adams is almost the exact opposite. He's like, I don't care if you like me, I don't care if you hate me, I'm doing this more for me, and if I want to release 3 albums in a year, you know, fuck you, I'm going to release 3 albums in a year, and you can like it, you can hate it. I love all 3 of them, or I hate all 3 of them. It's something I have to do for my own sense of mind.
Right, and at the very base level, it's something that you have to respect. Which is, you know, so when we initially started talking about Ryan Adams, and, you know, a lot of that conversation just that we didn't have ran through my mind on, you know, all this automatic auto-defense that came up of, you know, why do I like Ryan Adams as an artist? And, you know, obviously I dig his music, I dig his sound and his style. But beyond that, you know, like, why do I rush to defend him so easily? And I think part of it is just because I respect the fuck out of his that attitude right there, you know, his passion for music and his passion for writing, and putting stuff out there regardless. It's almost, you know, I liken to, you know, some of my favorite poets, you know, not in terms of style, but in terms of, you know, I'm just going to write stuff because this is what I need to get out there, sort of thing. And so I identify with that on a very deep level. But beyond that, I think a lot of what he writes, a lot of the tracks that I, not a lot, but, you know, maybe half or three quarters of the tracks I put on my playlist, have really, you know, I felt a very strong connection to the first time I heard these lyrics being sung, you know, to the song that was being played. I think I connected with on a very deep level. And I think he's, across the span of his career, on every album that he's put out, there's been, you know, that track or those few tracks that, like, completely just strike me to my core. Like, this is absolutely something I wish I could write, you know, this is, or this hits home on a very real, in a very real way. And there's so few artists out there that have ever done that with maybe 2 or 3 songs. And Ryan Adams has done it for a lot of a great many songs, over a great many albums. So I think, you know, I always rush to defend something that has really touched me on a personal level. I think I get very defensive about stuff like that automatically.
I would agree. And it's interesting to bring up the point of, you know, the literary type of connection, how you can like his music and appreciate it as someone would a poet or an author, where, you know, every book may not be your favorite, but you love that author. And that's actually the entire premise of the essay. But also, you know, I had a college professor in one of my writing classes that said, you know, every time, you know, Faulkner or, you know, one of these great writers sat down, they didn't come up with brilliance every time. What they did was constantly write. They were writing, you know, stuff that nobody ever saw. They were writing things that probably they threw away, you know, and you don't hit that gold, amazing, you know, best-selling novel every time you sit down and write, unless you do that kind of formulaic writing.
Right, right.
But, you know, the thing with Ryan Adams is it's kind of the same idea. He is constantly in the studio. He's constantly working with other artists. He listens to such a vast amount of music, and but the only thing is that's different about him is we get to see
right,
stuff
right.
that, yeah. you know, that would hit the cutting room floor for any other artist. So just the volume, and there probably is stuff that we haven't seen, and I have no idea. But, you know, it's not like we only see the cream of his crop; we see it.
But, you know, also kind of like not because I didn't want to do this too much this episode to compare them to like to Tweety or Wilco or anything like that, even though he gets thrown in that arena a lot. But he does a lot of B-sides and alternate takes of songs that he likes too. You know, he'll I forget the album specifically, but he did an EP, you know, of just like some of his really really big hits, but with the Cardinals this time. After Love Is Hell came out, I want to say he went and he did a studio recording of a bunch of tracks and stuff that was on Easy Tiger and things like that, and it was, you know, kind of a different perspective of a lot of these songs. Some of them were broken down more. Some of them were, you know, they had more of an acoustic feel to them than when they were on his album version, and you just get this different perspective of it. And it's like, even the stuff that he does put out there that you may not like the first time you hear it, he's like, well, try it this way, you know? And you're like, oh, no, yeah, this is really... And it's the reason I was going to compare them to Wilco, because they do that anyway, but specifically Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, has two separate different... like, there's three different versions of Yankee Hotel Foxtrot out there, you know, like, pick your flavor of Camera. You know, which version? They are, you know, and you know, I'd be lying if I said that there were the alternate versions of some of those tracks I didn't like more than the ones that were on the original. So you're able to not have just this huge breadth of work and, you know, cutting room floor material, but, you know, he's able to just go back and say, like, oh, you know, maybe give this one another shot when you look at it like this too.
Well, he has, I think, on Rock and Roll, he did, was it Anybody Want to Take Me Home? And then that's also on Love Is Hell. So he just did the same song twice, and it's, you know, even just shades of different, but just a re-recorded version on two different albums, just because why not? I'm Ryan Adams, I can do
that. Now that I'm just going to go ahead and interject, now that we've kind of gone over the person, I kind of want to dive into the two playlists that you specifically made and see. You mentioned, you know, these are personal to you, or what you feel is the best out of Ryan Adams on both these playlists. I just wanted to see if you guys can give a little bit more background on the songs themselves, or maybe the periods or the albums that he was going through. Because, I mean, I took notes here on what I found were some of my favorite albums, but like I said, I'm just new approaching it. Maybe you guys can give a little bit more background on it. Like, and last time, on the last episode we talked about, I mentioned Orion, and you guys, well, if we're including Orion, why wouldn't we include Orion? I think that's like his metal.
Yeah.
I own it.
Yeah, I have a copy as well. You know, because, it's not good, and it's fun, you know, it's another thing he was really passionate about. There was something that you could just tell he had a blast doing, you know, is like one of his bucket list sort of things, but it's obviously way outside of his normal genre. Anything that a Ryan Adams fan has come to expect, it's completely the opposite end of that, you know, purposefully. And so, you know, it's fun to listen to, but it's I don't think, you know, it's kind of like a fan fiction, a Ryan Adams fan fiction, you know. It's not really canon in a lot of folks' minds, I don't think.
I count it in there, because why not? It's there. It exists. It's part of it, and you have to accept everything with awe.
That's true. That is true.
It's the Nikki and Paolo of...
That's, you know, that's a very, very good... Absolutely. Yeah, I'd be happy to run through my playlist and kind of highlight what I was thinking with it and talk about the tracks. I have it pulled up here right now. I started it off with Miss Sweet Carolina, kind of appropriately, I think, off of his first major album, Heartbreaker, but also the song that sold me into him. Like I said, first album that I listened to, that I got into, was Jacksonville City Nights, because that had just come out, and that's what my friends were listening to at the time. But when I went on my own, you know, let's find out what's going on with Ryan Adams, this is the one that I heard that just completely melted me. That I was like, there's so much to this that's just heartbreaking and great. Obviously, it helps that Emmylou Harris.
I agree. I remember listening through... this is on John's playlist, too, if I remember correctly, and I remember listening through it, and I was digging up the list as I was going through it, and the first time I stopped and, you know, it really made me pay attention was Oh My Sweet Caroline. I was like, damn, that's a fantastic song.
So, unlike John, that's what I started my playlist out with. But again, more for a personal reason than anything else. From there, I go into Lucky Now, which is from the first time I heard it off of his last, before his self-titled his last album, Ashes and Fire, that was my favorite track on there, and it's one that the reason I loved it initially was just the instrumental bridge that he goes into, you know, after the second chorus, in which you have like this harmonizing of just minimalistic electric guitar, and it's such a beautiful, you know, instrumental that he does. But then the concept of the song, and there's lyrics in there that and I think on most of these, what ends up selling me is lyrics. And I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before, or really stressed it, but there's, I think, a major difference between how I first listen to music and how John or you do, Robert, in which I will listen to a song for the first time and focus strictly on arrangement and actual, you know, yeah. And then I'll go back and listen to lyrics. You know, unless it's you know, something like, yeah, like a hip-hop song or something like that, you know, there's exceptions. But usually with stuff like this, I'll listen to it, yeah, like you said, for the musicality, and then I'll go back and I'll listen to the lyrics. And Lucky Now, I think it just has some of those lyrics that just cut through you, and it's really, it's one of those that's just a beautiful song. From there, I go into a block of songs that I think are more upbeat, you know, to kind of bring you out of this this kind of funk that to introduce you to kind of like lay waste to you, and then kind of just,
this is the block that I was almost completely unfamiliar
with. And that's the reason I did, is like, you know, I kind of want to just like have this bass to kind of break you down, and then okay, let's wake you up. And so I put Wasteland on there, which is one of the ones he did with the Cardinals off of 3-4, which is, you know, not everybody's favorite. It's another double album, but you know, it not as good as like Cold Roses or anything like that. But it does have, you know, their gems on there. And I think Wasteland is just a fun, you know, commentary on celebrity life, and it's just like, by the time it gets to like the last Rotunda, you know, and you have like the chorus singing in the background, everything is just kind of a kick-ass song. And I go into one that's just, it's off of Gold, so it's just kick-ass anyway. You know, it's Firecracker. You know, that's just another one that's upbeat and fun. And there, from there I go to, and I don't do this often, but I did two from the same album back-to-back. And it's, they're both the Cold Roses ones, and If I'm a Stranger and Sweet Illusions, both of which, the first time I heard those, I just absolutely fell in love with. Mostly, again, you know, it's musicality is great, it's all there, but the lyrics, again, are just really, to me, were very impactful. Especially If I'm a Stranger. And I wish, can anybody, you know, I could probably do this while I'm talking here, is bring up the lyrics to some of these. I keep to get the lyrics are. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned Lucky Now, like that one, just lyrically. I usually, the main thing that attracts me to a song is that first impression.
Yeah.
Of a song. And then right up there next to that is lyrical content for me. I connect with lyrics. I'm a lyricist myself, and that's the first thing I hear. And then, you know, arrangement can come after that. There's some songs that I like that are just a mess that, you know, I love because of the impression / lyrics. But Lucky Now, I totally agree with you, Chris. That's...
Yeah, and while... The whole package. And it is from start to finish. Oh, you know what? I haven't seen any of these videos.
Lucky Now is quite fitting and compelling.
To highlight some of the lyrics that we're talking about here, for me at least, you know, and it's, what's really great about this too is it's the same thing over, and he does this in a few of his songs, in which he emphasizes his point. You know, he'll have a verse, and then later in the song he'll repeat that verse for emphasis, or a line from a verse for emphasis. But the concept of the song is, you know, like a lot of his songs, you know, like trying to find who you are, forgetting who you are, realizing that you've changed, realizing that you're not in love anymore, things like that. And for me, this one was, you know, are we really who we used to be? Am I really who I was? And he does this thing before the chorus too, which is really great. When which he goes, you know, the night will break your heart only if you're lucky now. And then later, love can mend your heart only if you're lucky now. And it's kind of that mirroring of that. My other absolute favorite lyric from the song is just this repeating, but it's minus word, and it's, we've got nothing and nowhere to go. We've got nothing and nowhere. And it's really just, it at least I think it should strike you, you know. For me, it hit me right away. And it was really great. Let me bring up the lyrics for From a Stranger real quick, if you guys don't mind. It seems.
Talking about lucky to buy time to play another song.
And now you don't have anything to say for If I'm a Stranger.
While he's pulling that up, if you don't mind, start going over a little bit of your list, John. All that right, way he can pull up all the songs he wants to.
Well, my list is less organized as his. I did it more for flow of the entire playlist, as opposed to here's my essential 10, and then here's the other 10. And I started with his argument with David Rawlings concerning Morrissey. It's not even a song.
Yeah. Which was brilliant, though, by the way. I think I undersold it on the... That was fun.
It sets the tone for that album, and it sets the tone for the playlist. So I went with that. But I start with Come Pick Me Up, because I just cannot even fathom how much I love that song. it's
great.
It's lyrically, again, another good one. And I don't even know. Can't even describe why. It's a great track, great lyrically, composition wise, it feels like the lyrics. The song feels like the lyrics.
Yeah.
And then I go into like Goodnight Rose, which is kind of a more rocking alt country type song. And I've seen a few videos on YouTube of Ryan Adams and the Cardinals playing this song, and they just look like they're having a freaking blast. And it's just, I don't know, I've connected almost more with the videos on that one, because it wasn't one that was on my radar until I saw some of the production of their playing it, and with extended solos and, you know, crazy antics and stuff. It was fun. The song that got me into Ryan Adams is kind of in the top of my list, New York, New York.
That's actually one of the songs I did not care for at all.
Really?
I couldn't stand it.
We're gonna fight.
I was gonna say, John, too. I'm not the biggest fan of New York, New York. You were talking about it the other day too, and I went back and I listened to it, and it's one that, you know, it's not in my bottom Ryan Adams by any means, but sure. Yeah, it's in it. Yeah.
It's always it. Remember your first.
Yeah, there was something about it. Just listening to it. It felt, I don't want to say sappy, but it just felt, I guess, I can't put a word on it. There was just something about it that it felt too familiar to me, and something that I had already heard before, and I just didn't care to hear again, maybe. It just didn't sit well with me, and I think about halfway through the song, I ended up moving on throughout your list.
Fair.
So...
But yeah, that mine's just I tried to mix it up, because I tend to load the end of my playlist with all the slow songs. So I tried to mix it up a bit.
As you should, I don't know if you've noticed, but I do the same thing. At least if I can't do the last couple, you know, the last few, I'll at least make sure the last one is. Except for in the rare instances, I have a very slow, introspective song, and then I follow it with just a really silly, you know, poppy, tender, fun song to just... Yeah, exactly.
I think Crying the Man, that made your list too, didn't it?
It did. I love Crying the Man. That's been... Song of all time. Yeah, it's in my top Ryan Adams song.
Love as Hell is probably one of my favorite Ryan Adams albums, so I had a few on there, but I didn't put as many as I thought I would. I closed my playlist with Lucky Now, because that Lucky Now is probably up in my, it's in maybe number two or number three in my top five Ryan Adams favorites. So I ended it with that, because I wanted to end on that note. But I tried to vary it a little bit. I pulled some stuff off of the Follow the Lights EP with the Cardinals, which I really enjoy. I love a lot of songs on 29. I think I only put two of them on there, though. Nightbirds is... Geez, maybe that's my favorite Ryan Adams song. I don't know. I can't...
It's hard, and I think that was when Robert tasked us with doing a top 10. Awesome. You were like, we were both like, absolutely not. Like, you know, it's impossible. You know, A, but B, you know, like, this is one of those artists I respect too much to say, like, you know, I'm just going to condense your career into 10 songs. You know, it's
Ryan Adams' greatest hits album. First of all, I mean, he doesn't really have hits.
Billboard number ones, Ryan Adams. Exactly. Yeah, I was. Oh yeah, I've had him for ages. Well, I think where I left off on my list was somewhere around "If I'm a Stranger," and this one has one of those lyrics that I still play through my head, that I think is one of those that a lot of folks like us, you know, you listen to a song like this and you connect to it because of a lyric like this. And this lyric is, "To tell the truth, it's hard enough, lover, who you want to hide your darkness from so they won't let you down." And it's just like, you hear that and you're like, right, that's exactly right. You know, it throws it on them. You know, it's their fault that you're fucked up, you know, because they because it's going to end not because, you know, you're completely fucked up and nobody should be with you, but because they even gave you a chance. and it's this beautiful lyric, and it's a great song. And I think from there I go Keep It With Cold Roses, and I go into Sweet Illusions, which is a little more straightforward, you know, song that's represented by the title. Let's see. This is the one, yeah. "I've been forgiven, I've been surpassed by my heart, have you?" Another lyric that kind of just cuts through you and is really, and, you know, should make you think, but then all of a sudden it's back into the pre-chorus and then into the chorus.
Just drop a concept or a line that really gets you and then rolls it right back into the rest of the song. And that kind of goes back to your, you know, repeating or mirroring image of lyrics. You know, that's something I picked up in my own lyric writing, and I think I got it from him.
Well, it's one of my favorite things to say about Ryan Adams. I remember when he, a long time ago, this is actually around, this is before the song came out in single form and then later on the album, but when he did his cover of Wonderwall, you know, he was shopping it around live. And, you know, at the time, Wonderwall is not, and to this day, you know, it has a bit of a stigma about it, and rightfully so. And Ryan Adams does just this beautiful, beautiful, haunting cover of it. And I remember watching a live video, or maybe it was just listening to a live, you know, bootleg, whatever recording he did, you know, back in 2004, you know, back in the days of peer-to-peer file sharing and things of that nature, in which he's like, clearly he's practiced this, you know, and wants to shop this around, and he's like, he's on stage, he's like, oh, I wonder if I could play Wonderwall. he starts playing it, and then so he plays it, and he does, you know, he does the version we all know now, and it's haunting and great, and it, at the end, he's like, yeah, it's that song that, you know, that I always wish I wrote. You know, and it's, and what's funny about that is that's how I feel about so many of his songs. Yeah. You know, from a, not just from a lyrical perspective, but from an entire package perspective. Like, this is the kind of song that I wish I had written, you know. And I say that about a few of my favorite artists, and none more true than Ryan Adams. And so, you know, going from there, I kind of lifted up with The Hardest Part, which is off of Jacksonville City Nights, you know, goes into a song about finding true love, and it's nice, and then right back down to Fix It.
There's a version where, I think it's on Letterman, where he's performing it, he's wearing like an Iron Maiden t-shirt, and he just looks like hell. And he's like real thin and just looks totally awful and rocks the crap out of that song. It's one of my favorite
videos out there. It's heartbreaking, that song, because he puts so much emotion into it. You know, look what I did to you, look what you did to me, fix it. I would fix it if I could. You know, and just that the repeating of, you know, I'd fix it and I would always win and you would always lose.
That so much vulnerability in that song, and strength and honesty, and it completely captures those types of situations and relationships that have so many facets and so many things going on in them. And then here's just a song.
Yeah. Well, right, and you know, I think it's easy to make the argument that, you know, Ryan Adams has a lot of our favorite songs by him, and a lot of his work in general is about, you know, broken relationships and relationships you can't quite figure out. And I think the reason why it doesn't become old and it doesn't become cliche with him is because he explores all those little facets, all those nuances, all everything that goes into a relationship, good or bad, and track to track, he explores different perspectives and different avenues with them. And so, you know, you're getting a similar theme while at the same time hearing something new. And it's always something, regardless, that you can relate to, which always helps.
So, Robert, I'm interested to know, I mean, you've shared a little bit of your perspective on Ryan Adams and his, you know, our playlist, I guess, of his what we consider his best stuff. What are your takeaways?
As I mentioned at the top of the episode, I liked your playlist a little bit more because of the sad sack music, and I kind of picked the songs that I seem to enjoy more and listen to those albums, and they tended to give me a lot more of what I was looking for, I guess, with Ryan Adams than any of his other albums. I wrote down the three albums that I thoroughly enjoyed. Heartbreaker was phenomenal.
Yeah,
I love that album. Yeah. Ashes and Fire, and then Jacksonville
Great.
City Nights.
Ah, yay! I think I actually win. So, I think I actually win.
I don't know if it was him just kind of channeling this great alt country open Probably. Wound for a heart persona that just kind of really comes through on these albums and in these songs in particular. And that being said, you know, it's not only these three albums I like. For example, I didn't care for a good portion of the songs off of Gold, but once again, I'm going to my post-it note here, like La Cienega Just Smiled, I think is a fantastic song. I absolutely love that song, and while I didn't think Gold absolutely jumped out at me, that's a song that I'm probably going to listen to forever and ever now, because I just think that's a fantastic song. But
Is Amy, is that on Gold?
I have Spotify up right now. Let me pull it up. Gold, is the song just called Amy?
Yeah.
That's not on there. Like New York is on there, and Firecracker, which was all right, but I'm trying to think of anything off of here that really stood out. But I
wonder what Amy's on.
But overall, like I said, I absolutely really enjoyed, and I guess I fell in love with Ryan Adams more so his, like I said, sad sacky music, sappy stuff, harmonica solos and all, and he does great alt country. The other point I wanted to make was, Chris, you made a point of, you're like, I don't want to compare him to, but I'm going to compare him to Jeff Tweedy.
Sure.
You can actually, and maybe this is me not thinking it through, or maybe just jumping to conclusions, but with comparing everything or viewing everything that Ryan Adams has done in his career, where he's tried the metal, he's tried the country, he's tried the pop, he's tried the rock, there's still territories that he can probably go into and explore musically, whereas I see Tweedy, he hasn't pigeonholed himself, but he has a sound, he has an idea and a groove, and he's really got it locked down. With Wilco, Ryan Adams seems more willing to go out and take a risk and work
with
a bunch of different people. To liken it back to a previous episode, he has the tendencies and the makings to maybe become another Elvis Costello.
That's interesting.
Who is willing, he plays music for the sake of loving to play music and putting music out. He's willing to experiment and play with different people to test out different sounds and to really push his own boundaries of what he can and cannot do. And granted, not everything works out for him. You know, we heard Elvis Costello's weird opera classical album, and it's like not too good, but then he does the Juliet letters and him in a string quartet, and it's phenomenal. You know, Ryan Adams has which isn't that great. Yeah, exactly. But phenomenal, that blows everyone's mind.
He could. I think this is probably running through John's mind too, though. It's the problem with Ryan Adams compared to Elvis Costello is that Ryan Adams is just notoriously hard to work with, and I think it's just because of how you know, devoted to his ideas and his singular, you know, isolated passion that he is, you know, and he gets together and he does experiment, he does get with different people, you know, and and you know, he does this, but if you don't click with them, or if you catch him at a bad time, or if you say the wrong thing, you know,
as for all purposes, he was the everyman musician. Like, he's willing to work with everyone, and he's humble and willing to learn something from anybody he talks to. And Ryan Adams is more steadfast. Maybe he believes in himself. Maybe he has more of a vision that this is what I have to do. And I find people that are on board with what I have to do compared to people that I can learn from. Maybe he's out there trying to make his own mistakes to find his way.
I don't know if he's making mistakes. I think it's like what Chris said. It's his singular view of this is what I'm here to do. I don't know that it's necessarily trial and error with him. It's just, this is what he does, because that's what
he
does.
And it's not to say he doesn't experiment all the time, you know, and it's and he does, and it's but I think it's always just him, you know, with his vision doing it, you know, saying, hey guys, we're gonna do this, you know, I need you to do this.
Elvis Costello on those first like 4 or 5 albums, he didn't really experiment. When you put those in, you knew you were gonna get this like new wave pop punk sound from him. It wasn't until later on into his career that he really stretched his musical muscles. And granted, Ryan Adams has already gone out and stretched his musical muscles, and he's done different things, and you can't tell me that Orion wasn't trial and error, because it's just a different personality, I guess, at this point. So you can't really label him as another Elvis Costello, but he has maybe qualities and similarities between the two of what they're looking
for. And I would agree with that too.
But overall, really enjoyed it. I'd give him a good rating. I haven't pegged one down yet, but
Well, we probably could. I think we're actually at about that time where we could kind of wrap them up here. Actually, you know, before we do that, John, did you have any final thoughts, Ryan Adams? Anything that we didn't cover?
The thing that I've enjoyed, because he's done some more production work, he's been putting out albums of a slightly less until recently. I mean, his last major release was in 2011, and then you know, his self-titled album and all this other junk that comes along with it that he's put out. But, you know, he did, like I say, he did production on Jenny Lewis's album. He recorded, and I'm not a Fall Out Boy fan whatsoever. I think they make catchy pop rather than the punk that they think they do. And they have an album on Spotify, and it's just called Pac Sam Days. And they went into the studio and just did, like, rough cut, you know, one take, minute and 22 second long punk songs, and the whole album I think has 8 tracks and it's 13 minutes long, and they just went into Ryan Adams' studio and recorded it all analog, and he's just like, alright guys, just do some stuff. And you know, it's completely in the face of what Fall Out Boy is all about, but it's actually a pretty freaking good album for people who like just, you know, unabashed you know, rough punk, you know, like it, I don't even know where from. Kind of punk with some metal there, but it's just interesting to see those guys go in with somebody like Ryan Adams, and they turn something out that I actually enjoy because Ryan Adams touched it.
Well, he is, he's great at producing. I'll definitely give you that. That's, that's one of his strong suits, which is really, when you make so many solo albums, I think eventually you get a knack for it.
Last week I also brought up, there's a website I follow called Consequence of Sound, it's a Chicago website.
Oh, yes.
The Ryan Adams albums, I wanted to see what your opinion on this was.
Yes.
So sure. Number 13 was Orion.
Right.
Number 12 was Cardinology. Number 11 right. was 29.
Figures.
Number 10 was Demolition.
Ooh.
I like Demolition.
Yeah.
Number 9 was Ashes in Fire.
Whoa.
Really? That's crazy.
Number 8, Rock and Roll.
Yeah. I actually would
okay.
put Rock and Roll further down the list. Like, I would have put it
before, yeah.
you know, behind 29 and Cardinology.
Yeah, rock and roll is really one of my least favorite.
It might be my least favorite.
Number 7 was 3-4.
Yeah, I'd put that lower down too. Whatever.
Number 6 was Jacksonville City Nights.
Sounds about right.
Number 5 is Gold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number 4, Easy Tiger.
Yeah, see, I'd put that further down the list too.
I like it, but it's. Man, now we're getting into the hard stuff. All right, proceed.
So, top three. Number 3, Love Is Hell.
Yes.
Number 2, Heartbreaker. And number 1, Cold Roses.
Cold Roses is really great, and it's a critical favorite too. So I'm not surprised that that's.
I would have put that probably 3 on my list.
I probably put it at 2 or 3. You know, it's. It's really great, and it's really good at capturing his sound, even though it's you know, backed by the Cardinals and everything. And I think it kind of encapsulates between the two discs his sound. And I think, you know, that's why it was so popular when it came out, and why it was so critically acclaimed. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that's in the top 3 or even at number 1 that they put it at, but there's a lot of that list I think they are incorrect with.
Yeah. The interesting thing, Chris, is even though our playlists are different, I think our album stack would be more similar than our playlist were, as far as
you know, what's best. We should do that. I think so. That's not a bad challenge. I like that.
The album. All right, so how many Dinosaur Juniors are we going to throw their way?
The Dinosaur Juniors. I guess I'll step up to the bat first. I will have to say Ryan Adams gets a 7.5 Dinosaur Juniors out of me.
That's great coming from
I
zero.
Possible 8 Dinosaur Juniors.
Wow.
I really enjoyed what I liked. I thoroughly enjoyed. And even the stuff that I didn't like, it's interesting enough to hold my attention. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And it may not be something that I'm going to readily go to whenever I want to listen to music, but there's something.
This is
sustenance, you know, substance behind it that I can take away from it.
You know, not to toot your own horn, Robert, but I think it's a credit to you to be able to do that and listen to it and just because that's a weird thing we made you do is take one of our favorite artists. With the body of the work that they have and say, here's all the best stuff, try and form an actual opinion, you know?
Lists also.
Yeah, that's such a weird thing that we, you know, that we try to do here. And for you to come out after, you know, a few days of listening and studying, like, and still come out with that 8.5 is, I think that's a testament to you.
7.5.
Or a good 11.5 that you gave it.
I'm giving it
17 billion. 3/4 Dinosaur Juniors. No, but I think that is really, really cool that you were able to do that. That's very interesting and cool.
Said, there's still a lot that I haven't touched on with because the way this whole episode came around is because of his new release, I asked both of you to make lists, and then it was just kind of like, well, we should talk about him. And you weren't the only two people I talked to about this. There's a third person, Amanda, who I asked about Ryan Adams, and she's still supposed to make me a list of what she feels are his best songs, and I'm waiting for that list. That might.
It's probably just going to be the entire album Rock and Roll.
I'm going to see what different territory she takes me into compared to both of your lists, or if it's something similar.
Sure.
Because there's still a lot of stuff I haven't touched on with this, you know, with the amount of music that he has actually out to listen to.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I would give him a 7.5 to 8 Dinosaur Juniors, which equates to a 3/4 Dinosaur.
That's worthy. And I think you came into him with a more of a preconceived notion of maybe, I don't know necessarily of him, but of his fans.
Everyone that I talk to that loves him just absolutely, they just, not aggressive, but they're just like, dude, you really have to check out Ryan Adams. And I'm like, he kind of seems like another singer-songwriter to me. I don't understand the point of why he's so good, but he does very well.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say there is a lot to take away from his music, so.
There are a few people that I will accept. You have to hear this record. It's so great. That immediately makes me lose interest because I don't want to be told what to like. You guys would be two of the people I would probably accept that from, because I trust you guys with your opinions immensely, which is why we do this podcast and whatnot. But yeah, that would turn me off too, like the super ultra mega fans for whatnot. I like Death Cab for Cutie fans get that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, they're great. I love them. They're one of my favorite bands, but they're not the best thing in the world. Let's not go there.
Do you two have some Dino Juniors to hand out here?
Oh, freaking 10 Dinosaur Juniors. That's surprising.
29. You should give them 29 Dinosaur Juniors. I'm just, you know, he's one of my favorite artists, so I'm just going to give him 10 Ryan Adams.
I think Ryan Adams would appreciate 10 Ryan Adams.
I would hope he might just be like, okay. He just gets in his car and drives away.
besides Ryan Adams, what have you two been listening to lately?
Since the last podcast.
Yeah, exactly. We've been 3 days, so there's nothing really new.
I can't keep up the radio voice anymore.
I gave up on that a long time ago.
Yeah.
This is just who I am.
You're just really mellow radio guy.
You're the 3 a.m. weather guy on WXRT.
Got a 100% chance of darkness tonight, but we're hoping that'll clear up by morning.
Oh my god.
New to report on what I'm listening to right now.
I'm going through my list. I'm making one of, I was telling John, I'm making one of my mega mixes on Spotify, and I do this a few times a year. I've been doing it for a very long time, in which I'll just sit down and make, you know, the equivalent of like an MP3 CD, 6.5 hour mix of music, and I do this.
The Ravi Shankar.
I have some Robert Plant in there as well. Did he really?
It's coming out.
Okay.
The lead-off single off of it's actually not that bad.
Did you expect it to be bad?
I didn't.
He does a lot of weird stuff lately.
It came out June. No, it's coming out. Excuse me. The lead single is called Rainbow. Came out in June. So. Yeah, I didn't know what to expect from it, to be honest, so.
You know, he played with Afrokelt Sound System, Robert.
That's right.
Wait, what was that?
Afrokelt Sound System that I mentioned. He did a track with them,
really?
And it's actually, he did, and it's actually pretty good.
Afrokelt Sound System?
Hey, wait until I make you the playlist.
I'm searching for the
Don't. They're on Spotify. They are on Spotify, but.
We'll be listening to this tomorrow then.
Robert. You're the worst. I've been listening to, on John's suggestion, a fellow named Connor Oberst off of Nonesuch Records. Who's he's good. He's got some good stuff on there. I think there's some really good stuff on there. I listened to the whole thing a couple times through. I want to say a lot of it does come off as a little less refined than I think I want it to be. I think the songs I end up liking off of there have a sort of peak of maturity about them. But the album in toto doesn't, unfortunately. But that's not to say it's not a very good album. I think people should check it out. And I want to say there's a handful of tracks off of there on first listen to that I were like, well, these are really good. And you know, the what was the track that you shared with me? I can always
Common Knowledge.
Thank you, Common. It's if nothing else, you know, check that song out, because that is really good. And again, you know, it's singer-songwriter, you know, but I think it's singer-songwriter the way that we like singer-songwriter, you know, and it's very good. Outside of that, I don't know if I've listened to anything new since the last time. I've just been kind of working on this playlist, which I'll share. I should have it done in the next couple days or so. It's actually my 11th one. I've titled it Premiere Season. I titled them all, by the way.
I've seen Bright Eyes in concert, which is Connor's first band, and it wasn't very good live.
we were talking about that a while ago, bands that aren't very good live.
That's how much I remember. It completely, I was very bored by it. He seemed to be very wooden on stage and very... I don't know if it was timid or shy, or if he just didn't care to be there, whatever it may be.
But I think that's his shtick.
Yeah, it didn't play off well. It wasn't a very good performance, so I ended up not having a fun time watching Bright Eyes Live, which is sad because I really do enjoy a lot of their albums. I think it's great stuff. Granted, a lot of it sounds the same, but...
Yeah,
a lot of it sounds like it's rehashing old stuff, but, I mean, for the stuff that really does stand out and kind of grabs your ear, it's fantastic.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, it was just very bland performance live, so...
Well, and 10 years ago, Connor Oberst was the next Dylan, so we see how that turned out.
Yeah, not so much.
So. Really, really solid, but not the next Dylan.
So yeah, I've been watching Legend of Korra. That's all I got.
And listening to did we? I don't know if we did any of our.
there is actually one new artist that I recently found, and I've only heard like two or three songs from him. His name is Rory, Roury. He's a guitar player out of Atlanta, like a folk R&B kind of guitar player out of Atlanta, Georgia. Pretty interesting. He's only like 18, so I need to check out more stuff before I can give him the full stamp of approval. But if anybody else gets a chance to go out there and listen to him, Rory, Roury.
The young guitarist like Jake Bugg, who was big last year and I haven't heard of since.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, whatever happened to Jake Bugg?
He's around. He's still playing a lot of festivals and touring, and I think he has another album coming out next year. But I remember hearing Jake Bugg for the first time and being blown away, and then I actually heard him live, and I was very not impressed by him.
Yeah, I saw him do live on TV somewhere, or maybe it was on YouTube. That's where I tend to hang out. And I just was like, oh, that was not what I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Next. Maybe that's why we're not hearing as much about him, because so many people...
Oh, you're not that good. Okay.
It was
sorry, Jake. All right. Well, I think that does it for us for this week.
Actually, there's one last piece of
Oh, good.
Who are
yeah.
doing next week.
Oh, whose turn is it?
We should. Maybe I should ask Jen what she thinks. Yeah, we should
we're
do.
We're
going
to end up doing Dave Matthews Band then.
Yeah, and we've all talked about never doing him. We've all sworn an oath to society.
I had to mention him at least once in the show.
That's right.
We were doing so great with this episode with the bingo playing.
We brought up Wilco, Death Cab for Cutie, and Jen.
So, but either
it's true.
You could actually get a pick from Jen, or you get to pick something yourself, or do you want to go
on? I haven't
put
any thought into who I want next, actually. I didn't realize it was my turn.
That's a pretty good excuse.
Did I just do Elvis Costello? Oh, and then we did Do Make Say Think. That we just kind of.
And
that was a good show, too. The audio on that one was awful, but it was really a good show.
And then we did, obviously, Ryan Adams, so.
Alright.
You can also do an off the cuff episode, just something, you know, top five this or.
Here's my pick. This is going to be controversial. That's what I'm all about right now, apparently. Let's delve into Dinosaur Jr.
Wow. Everybody make sure to tune in for that. That's going to be a landmark episode. I think we should advertise that one.
Yeah.
So
that's a great pick, John.
The other thing I wanted to bring up... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't think any of us are actually all that familiar with Dinosaur Jr.
I'm relatively familiar.
I'm loosely familiar.
Yeah, loosely familiar.
I wouldn't
familiar,
even call it.
Yeah, best.
But let's dive into it and make some real assumptions, and maybe we'll change our ranking system.
Something tells me that's not going to happen.
The other thing I wanted to bring up is the last episode we talked about, once they have a website and a name, we would go ahead and drop that. Our, I guess, sister podcast or frenemies?
No.
We are not related whatsoever.
No.
Are we frenemies?
We are not affiliated.
We're friendly. We're friendly enemies.
Mortal enemies.
Friendly enemies.
They now have a name, and it's Mike versus the Internet is the website.
That's great. I love that.
Mike.
Wow.
WordPress.com. And I believe it's the podcast itself is maybe Mike and Tom versus the Internet.
That's great.
Yeah.
I had not heard the name.
Wow.
But I love it.
It was just posted today. This was, I guess, breaking news as of maybe an hour and a half ago. So
that gets like 10 Dinosaur Juniors just for the name.
So
that was the other thing today. I knew there was two things. I knew it was Scotland, and I couldn't remember the other one. I guess it was.
Are they their own Jell-O gelatin over there? What's going on?
The last I heard, they were still trying to hash it out. But the signs were pointing no. The signs were pointing towards unity. So
Leo six Californias.
Or two Illinois.
Or four Texas.
This is really bad math. Just start dividing up our country. No one wants Mississippi. That way they feel awkward. And then everyone has to explain to them why no one wants them.
Alright, so for the Static and Distortion podcast, I've been one of your hosts, Chris.
I'm Robert.
And I'm John. Up next is traffic, weather, and the news at the top of the hour. Have a great evening.
100% chance of darkness.
The walls we build, they must come down. Hey, you might wreck getting ball, won't you come and maybe knock me down? Hey, you might wreck getting ball, won't you come and maybe knock me down? Hey, you might wreck getting ball, won't you come and knock me down? Come and knock me down, come and knock me down.